When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Michael Yon, at Michael Yon, joins me. He is in the capital of a Central American state that is troubled, Honduras. And we're also joined by Anthony Rubin, muckraker.com, to comment on what he's learned these last weeks about migration through the Panama-Darien Gap corridor. What is fascinating is there's suggestion here that something's very organized, something that we have not seen for the last 3 years. Michael, I begin with you. In 2021, you followed the trail to the Darien Gap, and you were there for weeks, camped out in the one hacienda at the end of the gap in the beginning of the Pan-American Highway with the beautiful tropical birds in the triple canopy jungle. And you were watching very carefully who was coming through. There were lots of people from Haiti, lots of people from Cuba, people from the Middle East, people from the Indo-Pacific. Do you recall, did you see Chinese nationals in those weeks you were there, Michael? Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, that was, I spent months at a time down there, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. And back then, you know, I've got some of the first of all, the main person that should be talking today is definitely Anthony. So I'll just introduce and step out of the way. But Anthony Rubin has a new story to tell. But I was there back then and I was watching the Chinese come through and others. Back then, when you had 200 people come in a day, I mean, total people, it was mostly Haitians and Cubans. That was a big day. So that'd be 6,000 a month. Now it can be 5,000 a day, and that's just normal, right? So we've gone from early 2021 from, you know, maybe 200 a day to now it's nothing to see 5,000, right?
Did you see still growing. Did you see Chinese nationals in 21? In the books.
Right. Very few. Like, I've got some of the log books. If I haven't sent them to Anthony Rubin and to you yet, I will. I have them right here with me. Those log books that I photographed. And you would see like one Chinese a day, 2, 0, 4, 0, 0 for a couple of days, 4, 6. It wasn't like today, if you get 200 Chinese, that's a sparse day.
All right, that's like a low day. Let's go to 22. A year later, you're back at the Gap. Now there's reason to believe that the Biden administration is organizing the Gap. There's Mayorkas' appearance in 22 by helicopter. Did you see Chinese? The numbers are now much larger. There's reason to believe we've got not only Haitians, but Cubans, lots of Cubans coming through, and Venezuelans. That begins in 22. Did you see Chinese nationals in 22, Michael?
Oh, yeah. The numbers were starting to increase. No, at this point, you know, we were getting to the point where you would start to see them every day, and you know, it would start to be into the dozens per day, and now, again, this year at this point, when Anthony just went through the Darien Gap with a bunch of Chinese and Syrians and Venezuelans and Bangladeshis, as I recall, and some others, it's nothing to see 400 Chinese come in one day now. It's nothing. It's normal.
All right. Let's go now to what we've learned these last weeks. Now, Anthony and his brother Joshua.
Wait, can I say one thing, John?
Sure.
That's just the Chinese through the Darien Gap. That does not include the flows that fly straight to Mexico or come over the northern border.
I understand
student
that.
Visas and all that.
I'm comparing and contrasting 21 to 22 to 23. And we've seen a steady increase, but we still have much to learn. Anthony was with us several weeks ago. Just after he'd emerged from the gap, he and his brother went from Quito, the capital of Ecuador, by bus and foot, all the way through the Colombian border, onto the border that at the edge of Colombia, the sea, crossed to the the isthmus there, and then landed in Panama and marched through the Darien Gap. There were Chinese nationals with them, but there were other nationalities. And then from the Gap, they traveled all the way through Central America to the American border and as far as Texas, very near Boca Chica is my memory. All of that was behind us. But now Anthony has returned to the part of the trail that is most interesting. This is the mysterious part. This is a town called Pasto, Colombia. Anthony tells me it's at the Ecuadorian-Colombia border. So it's not on the Panama side. It's on the Ecuador side. Anthony, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. You were at Pasto, Colombia. You say you were next to an airport. What did you see and what did you make of it? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening. Pleasure to be here. So where I was in Colombia, it was literally right next to the Cabañas Rio Mayo Hotel, right across from the Antonio Nariño Airport. The whole hotel was full of Chinese people that are on their way to the United States, which I confirmed through multiple means. Number one, just word of mouth talking to these people. They either told me that they were going to be flying into Mexico or they were telling me that they were going to go across the Darien Gap, that they were going to fly into Medellin, Colombia, and then take a bus over to Nacocli, where they would then, get on boats and go to the mouth of the gap. Or they would fly directly into Mexico and march up like that if they had the appropriate visa. I interviewed one of these people who told me that they were going to go to either New York or Los Angeles and also told me that there are definitively Chinese police in the United States. You know, that latter statement about the police, that's not a secret. This isn't groundbreaking news. We already know this. But again, it's just further confirmation that these people coming up here know these things, right? They know that the CCP is operating in America. And then, finally, I actually took photos of their logbooks, right? Like 15 pages going back weeks. And it was all Chinese people. And it had their passport numbers. It had their names. It had their dates of arrival. And it said where they were going. And the destination was always either United States or Mexico. And so if it's Mexico, that just implies that, they're going to fly into Mexico and keep marching upwards. But that's what this was. And so it's just a staging hotel. And just, in conclusion, this is not the only such hotel that I found. I just got the best footage of this one because I happened to sleep there overnight. And when I left the next day to fly into Medellin from that Antonio Nariño airport, the entire airport was full of Chinese. I have that in video. I'll be publishing that. This is just confirmed. This is just one of their hubs along their entire route to the United States.
This hotel, Pasto, Colombia, is the hotel you're a Chinese national or a Colombian national?
To the best of my knowledge, Colombian. All of the hotel staff were Colombian.
Did he have English or Spanish only?
Spanish only.
Spanish only. Was there evidence that the Chinese had Spanish? How did they deal with him?
No, they were always using electronic translators on the phone.
I see. And so the hotelier was doing a big business. The hotel was full? The restaurant was full?
Restaurant was packed out. I've published videos of that. Everybody can see. I mean, every single table there was you had Chinese people sitting at it. And the hotel, to the best of my knowledge, is pretty packed out. I mean, I don't know if every room was booked, but certainly we were the only foreigners there that were not Chinese. And I actually asked the hotel staff that night if there were any other foreigners that were staying at that hotel who were not Chinese other than my brother and I, and they confirmed that that was indeed the case, that no, that we were the only foreigners that were not Chinese.
When we spoke several weeks ago, you had a document that you had translated from the Mandarin that was in the form of phone numbers and suggestions and routes to go from Quito to the American border. Was this hotel listed in that document, to your knowledge?
This particular hotel was not, but Pasto, which is listed in that document along the route, was there. And, you know, it says in the document that you can stop at Pasto. It says exactly where you're going to cross from Ecuador into Colombia, that Pasto is kind of a waypoint, and to keep, you know, how to keep on making your way to Nicoclí and beyond. And, you know, so it's known. And listen, this document that we're referring to, it's a 200 for everybody that's not familiar. I received during my first trip to the Darien Gap, I met a Chinese man who I stayed in touch with. Up until he reached the United States and is now residing in California, and I'm still in touch with him to this day. One day he sends me a 200-page PDF document that's all written in Chinese. I have it translated, and you know, it basically lays out how to get from Ecuador to the United States of America and basically how to work the asylum system. And this is the document that we're referring to here when we're you know, talking about a document. So I just want everybody to be aware kind of what we're talking about.
The Chinese nationals staying at the hotel, were they all males, men and women, families, children? What characterized the people?
It was predominantly military-aged men, and I would define that around, you know, men in their 20s to 40s. Then you also had women and children with them. But if you were to split it up as far as, you know, females, males, and then children as their own group with, you know, boys and girls, the largest group of those three would be just the males.
I see. And they were at the hotel passing through? They were moving right on through, or they were staying there for days? Could you tell?
Oh, no, they were moving right on through. They were moving. The people that I saw at that hotel that night, the next day, we had a morning flight to go to Medellin. And that next morning, I saw all the same faces in that airport ready to go.
Ready to go. And the details here about their language abilities. You did interview one Chinese national whom you've kept in touch with. Did he have any English or Spanish?
That Chinese national that I met earlier this year, he does have English, correct. And he's now residing in California and working in a restaurant. And he speaks enough English for us to get by without his translator.
All right. But the man you interviewed on video, you used a translator with him at the hotel. Did he have any English?
He did. He did have English. It was easier to use a translator, though, just so nothing was lost in communication. But he had enough English to, you know, barely get by, basically, for us to kind of speak in a very rudimentary sense. But anything complex, we use a translator.
And was there any reluctance to talk to you? You were recalled that group of young men who probably were from the Middle East. They were very reluctant to talk. Were the Chinese nationals reluctant to talk?
Absolutely. It definitely takes some massaging of the situation to get somebody to sit down in front of a camera. You know, they have to trust that I'm going to blur out their face. You know, and most of the Chinese that I've talked to one on one, for example, the individual who gave me that document that I just explained before, I interviewed him over Zoom. And people can go find that video on my website where he also actually says that there are Chinese police in the United States and he's worried that they're going to kidnap him and take him back to China.
Okay.
But where was I going with this? My point is that gaining that trust is definitely not easy. I mean, in both of those interviews that I've now published, I blur out their face, you know, just because I'm a man of my word and I'm not going to, even if these people are spies, right? Even if I'm talking to a Chinese spy or saboteur, I don't know that. I can't confirm that. And just man to man, I guarantee them that I'm going to blur out their face, and you build up enough trust, and that's what you do. And that's how you make it happen. It's definitely not easy, though. It's not just, hey, let's do this interview, and they just agree instantly.
Anthony Rubin is muckraker.com, where you can see all of Anthony's reporting, video, audio. Michael Yon, at Michael Yon. When we come back, what to make of this information? This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.